Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin wa qala ta'ala fi maqamin akhar wa man yattaqillaha yaj'al lahu makhraja wa yarzuqhu min haythu la yahtasib wa qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya aba hurayra ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam sadaqallah mawlana al-azim wa sadaqa rasuluhu an-nabiyul habibul karim wa nahnu ala dhalika min ash-shahidin wash-shakirin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. My respected Sheikh, Mashaikh, Ulama-i Kiram, brothers in Islam, and those who are listening over the live streaming, inshallah, as we will begin, firstly, as our Hazrat has taught us, to start off with one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not actually a sunnah, but it's an action. Before every action we should be doing, and that is our niyat, our intention, correcting our intention, as Hazrat Mawlana Imran Sahib mentioned. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi mentioned very beautifully, that if a person, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, had the most desire of Islah of people, of reformation of people, they had the most amount of fikr and concern. But there were some people before them who had no desire for reformation. So no matter how much of effort they made, there was no one who made effort like the Anbiya alayhi salam. But no matter how much of effort they made, those people were not prepared to change. So Hazrat says that if it's not from a person's own side, his own desire, I need to change my life, I must become a better person, then that person will never ever change. Who can be the best bayans in the world, the greatest people in the world also, but if he's stubborn and from his side he says, I'm not going to change, he will never change. And if a person has got talab and desire, I must change my life, some changes I must bring into myself, and this change has to take place from a small age until we pass away. It's a continuous effort, not that now I'm the best person. No, Allah Ta'ala give myself first and all of us tawfiq to always have this fikr and concern within ourselves of our Islah, of our reformation. Hazrat Mawlana Masoolullah Rahmatullah Ali used to mention, there are many different types of people going for bayans. Some people come for bayans with the wrong intention. If we will go to criticize, I listen to the bayan, I'll take out points, and I criticize the person. See, this person will never ever benefit. Then you get another category of persons who goes, because everyone else is going, let's join in the fun, let's join in the jamaat, we'll also go for the bayan. So that person also won't really benefit. He'll get some little bit benefit, but very, very small amount of benefit. Then there's a third group of people who come with the intention of thawab. We will get thawab, we will go for a bayan. MashaAllah, very, very mubarak, it's very good also. But that's not the object of the bayan. Inshallah, you will get the thawab. But the main object to go for a bayan is for Islah, for reformation. I must bring some change into my life. What I will listen, inshallah, I will practice. If a person goes with this intention, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward a person according to his intention. So this is, let us correct our intention. For the next 2-3 days we will be here. Whatever we will be listening, whatever we will be speaking also, will be for our Islah, for our reformation. Then a few bayans, or even one bayan, will be sufficient to change a person's life and to bring him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat of the Quran Sharif, which I have recited, where Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. So the object of our gathering here, what's the object of this Islah Jalsa? It is to get the quality of taqwa within ourselves. So firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all of us, that, oh my friends, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O people of Iman. And who is the people of Iman? Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the friend of the people of Iman. So Allah is saying, I'm telling you my friends, I got a lot of love for you. You are my friends, every one of you. I've got the greatest amount of friendship and love for you. And I want you to increase, I want you to better yourself. And ulama say about over 80 times in the Quran Sharif, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. And this is actually an honorary title, a very respectable title. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. The people of the past, Allah never did not address them with the quality of Iman. Allah said, Ya Bani Israel, O the family of Israel, family person, the family lineage. Ya Bani Adam, O the family of Adam alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala attributed them to a person. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. But not the quality, any quality within themselves. But for the people of Iman, Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, for the Muslims. So this is a very, very great honor that Allah is calling us people of Iman. Allah is saying, I accept your people's Iman. So this shows a great love Allah Ta'ala has got for us and a great honor Allah is giving to us. So Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. You've got Iman, but don't suffice on that. You are my friend. But you are a distant friend. Like you get a person, he's living in the same town like you, in Azadwal. You ask him, you go for Umrah, you know this person. You say, yeah, he's my friend. You say, well, what's his name? You say, yeah, I don't even know his name. But I see him in a masjid. So he is your friend, he's an acquaintance, you know him. But it's a very, very far and distant relationship. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is not sufficient. I don't want you to be very, very far away. I want you to become very close to me. I want you to get the quality of taqwa. And this quality of taqwa, it will lead you to such benefits. I'm telling you, Allah is commanding you, because Allah loves us. There's nothing Allah has made in our deen difficult. Allah has made everything easy for us. And whatever Allah has commanded us, because there was so much of benefit in that. Example, 5 times salah is farz upon us. Now we say, it's farz, it's so difficult. No, because there was so much of benefit, Allah had to make it compulsory. Allah said, no, it's farz. Because my bandas, they don't understand the value. They might not come for salah. They'll say, no, it's only nafal, it's mustab. But there was so much of benefit, Allah Ta'ala said, no, I have to make it farz upon you. It's like a father who got love for his child. He said, you have to go madrasa. The child thinks, hey, my father is a very hard person. But in reality, his father got love for him. His father wants him to benefit. His father wants him to live, to learn. His father wants him to progress in life. His father wants him to become a great person in life. So his father commands him with certain things. So Allah is giving us the command, Ya أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And never mind the people of Iman. Allah is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya أَيُّوَ النَّبِيُّ اِتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Or Nabi, you also get this, you increase in the quality of taqwa. So this is a continuous effort. Now what actually does taqwa entail? Everyone has got their own funny meaning of taqwa. When Anashab al-Thami rahmatullahi says, there was one person one day, he unfortunately committed the evil action of zina, fornication. So people are very upset with him. A lady fell pregnant also. So they say, what's wrong with you? How could you have done such an evil action? He said, I was overcome by desires. So he said, no, then why you never make azal? Now azal is a kind of contraception. So the woman doesn't fall pregnant. So he said, no, I heard azal was makruh. So that's why I stayed away from it. So this was his kind of taqwa. He said, I can't do any makruh action, but he does a haram action. Or Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi gives another example of one person, outwardly very, very pious, making all his wazifas. And he used to sit in the morning after Fajr namaz until Ishraq. And he don't talk to anybody. His sheikh gave him a lot of wazifas. He's reading the wazifas one way. But any person comes to him, he was a government official. So now the person will say, get me some work done for me. He'll lift up his hands, 200. Must pay a bribe, 200. Then, but he can't speak because my sheikh gave me wazifas. So then he lifts up the musalla, he put the 200 under here. And then he'll cover it up. Then next person comes, 300. Lifts up the musalla, put it there. But he can't speak. So that's his kind of taqwa. So this is not the taqwa which Allah wants from us. That we're doing our own things, our business is upside down. But outwardly we're just doing a few actions. No, taqwa is a whole way of life. Actually taqwa means, it comes from the word wiqaya. And wiqaya means a shield. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us, make a shield around yourself. A very, very strong shield. And the more taqwa you have, the more stronger the shield is. And why you must have this taqwa? Ittaqullah. Have the shield to save yourself from the displeasure of Allah, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves you so much. Don't make your Allah angry. Many people translate taqwa as fear. Fear Allah. This is a completely incorrect translation. Because Allah is not the being to be feared. Allah is the being to be loved. Because Allah is full of love and Allah loves us very, very greatly. So this create a shield around yourself. So never ever you make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. Like your father, you've got love for him. You never ever want to displease your father. So you try to do such actions, you should not displease your father. So Allah is saying, create the same seal around yourself. For 1 second of your life also, do not displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at every moment of my life, Allah must be happy with me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you got this quality of taqwa, I am prepared to give you thousands and thousands of things. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made promises with iman alone. Allah will give you things not on iman alone. Allah Ta'ala says iman and taqwa. Everywhere in the Quran, iman and taqwa. You got iman and you got taqwa. Together, Allah has given promises. Today the whole world, the Muslim Ummah is going through difficulties and problems. And we think this is happening to the Muslims here, this is happening to the Muslims there. Allah's promises and Allah's help will be when we got iman and taqwa. One is for our individual self also. And one is on a collective scale also. Iman and taqwa, both these qualities. Alhamdulillah, we've got iman, 50% of the work is done. Now it's another 50% to bring this quality of taqwa within ourselves. Bring these two qualities and what Allah has promised. I will just mention a few places in the Quran Sharif. What and what promises Allah has given for this taqwa. Definitely taqwa is a bit of mujahada, a bit of sacrifice. But everything in this world, a person has to make a bit of sacrifice. You go to shop in the morning, you want money. You have to make some sacrifice for that. Nothing comes easy in life. A person, anything in life you want, some sacrifice has to be made. As you make a little bit of sacrifice, then it becomes very, very easy. Example, to go shop in the morning, you ask a person, I must go 8 hours a day to shop and I must work. Person says, it's too hard. 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock. I can't understand. How can you go So many hours you must go and so much of work you must do. It's very, very difficult. But if you start seeing the profits and the benefits, then it becomes easy for a person. And as a person continuously goes, after 2-3 years, now it's his habit and nature. Now if he doesn't go shop, he feels itchy. Now he's feeling upset. I'm just waiting to get back to the shop. I'm just waiting to hear the bells ringing again. I'm waiting, I'm feeling uneasy now. So similarly, when we understand taqwa and we make a small amount of effort, a little bit of effort, we will see what Allah will give us. Inshallah, we'll mention in the Quran Sharif about approximately 8 to 10 ayats where Allah has given promises of taqwa. What Allah will give you if you got this quality of taqwa. One ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which muhaddithin have mentioned, they say that if Allah didn't mention any other benefit besides this one benefit, it should have been sufficient. That was the greatest thing, greatest gift Allah was giving on taqwa. Allah ta'ala says, Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahsanun. You have the quality of taqwa, you will become my friend. Today everyone in this world is looking for a friend, companionship. Somebody must be with him, will assist him, help him. Allah says, I'll become your friend. And I'll become your close friend. You've got iman. You've got a distant friendship with me. You will become my close friend. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. What benefit you will get in the grave? La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. No fear for the future. And you won't be sad over the past, what happened in the world. I left my wife, I left my family, I left my children. On the day of Qiyamah, the angels will tell you, La takhafu wa la tahzanu. No fear, no grief. You don't have to worry at all. You're going to Jannah. They will show you the place of Jannah. What enjoyments there are for you. So that is in the cover on the day of Qiyamah. At the end of your life, you are leaving this world. A person is frightened, I'm leaving this world. Allah will open up the scenes of Jannah for you. And you will see and you will wait to run towards Jannah. I want to leave this world and go out and I want to go meet my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the muhaddithin mentioned that even in this world, when a person has got this quality of taqwa, then تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُ وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. You cannot see it, but when you've got the quality of taqwa, the angels will come and inspire you all the time. Don't fear, don't grieve, don't worry. People are going against you, people are speaking against you, people are criticizing you. You don't worry at all. So they will keep inspiring you with good thoughts, and a person will feel comfortable. There won't be fear over that person. Outward he might have fear on his body. There might be some sadness in his life, but his heart Allah Ta'ala will protect it when he's got the quality of taqwa. Today many people are suffering from depression in the world. As Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Afsab Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that if Switzerland can create a watch which is waterproof, you can take it 200 meters down and not even a vapor will go inside that in the watch. So what difficulty is there for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of human beings, to create a heart which is ghamproof, which is sorrowproof, but which no sorrow will go inside, no grief will go inside there. Today majority of the people are suffering in the world, depression, worries, anxieties. What's going to happen tomorrow? The price of petrol is going up. This is going up. The price of food is going up. There is no water. You are always worried all the time. But that person who has got this quality of taqwa, Allah says, I will give him la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahsanun. You build up your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you see how Allah will give you this. For who is this? Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. You got iman and taqwa. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will give them glad tidings in this world and in the akhirat. One glad tidings in this world is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make people see, that person himself will see good dreams, or other people will see good dreams on his behalf, which the Mufassirin have mentioned. Another means is people will start speaking good about you. It's people from their heart, they won't have any connection with you, but they will see this person, they will say, he's an Allah wala. And they will start speaking good things about him. This is the glad tidings also in this world. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. And in the akhirah, what Allah will give a person? Greatest amount of success Allah Ta'ala is giving you on taqwa. So this is just one great benefit, the greatest of benefits to get this friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other friendships in this world, they will come to an end. They won't be of any benefit at all to a person. When you need your friend at the most, that person leaves you, he's not there with you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there with you all the time. Every moment of your life, Allah will be with you. At the time of death also, Allah is not that friend who will leave you in the lurch. You are now, shaitan is attacking you. And Allah will say, my friend, I got nothing to do with you and leave you now. Allah will be there with you at that time. No one else can help you, but Allah will be with you. So this is the awliya Allah. This is the one who have got taqwa. Another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you got taqwa, what I will give you? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. The one who has got the quality of taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make out an exit for him from every kind of difficulty and problem. Everyone has problems in their life. If you adopt the quality of taqwa, you'll see how Allah will make out ways for you. What and what ways Allah will make out, you'll be shocked to yourself also. And how Allah will give you rozi and sustenance from such places where you never ever thought possible. There was once a youngster, in many centuries ago, he was studying in a famous university of Azhar. At that time it was a very, very genius educational system. Deen was thought it was a very great Islamic university at that time. So he was studying at that university. And one day he was extremely hungry. And he came out of his house, this place where he was staying. And he walked down the street. And he could smell a very, very wonderful fragrance coming from one house. So when he went to that house close by, he saw the door was open. And as he entered the house, he saw one pot of food there. And he says, oh, what a wonderful pot of food. And there's nobody around and I'm very, very hungry. And the masala is also at that time, when a person is extremely hungry, he can lose his life also. It's permissible for him to take some food also. But then the thought came to him, Allah is watching me. How can I enter somebody else's house and take from somebody else's house? It's not right for me. I'd rather suffer the pangs of hunger, but I'll go back. Anyhow, he managed, he went back, staying completely hungry still. As he goes back to his room, he's sitting there, he's studying. His ustad came after 1 hour or so, and he came with another person. And he says that this person has come to me, and he's got his niece or his daughter, she wants to get married, and he's looking for a pious young boy, and I could think of nobody better than you. So I want you to get married to her. So in those times, the nikahs were very, very simple. If a person was happy, they made the nikah straight away. There wasn't need for a 3 months3 months time to get married, and 6 months time, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the proposal comes, you must hasten. Don't delay the nikah now for 3 months and 6 months. As soon as the proposal is found, the match is found, then make the nikah straight away. So similarly, they made the nikah straight away. And they took the boy to say, let's go to the house to have a meal there with your new bride. You can meet her, father-in-law. And as he's walking back to the house, he comes back to the same house. And he sees, and the same food which he was supposed to have stolen, taken in a haram way. Now he's eating it in a halal way. Allah Ta'ala gave it back to him. وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Now he could eat how much he wanted to, and with the happiness of the heart. And together with that, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gave him a pious wife also. So a person who has got this taqwa, يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. What in what ways Allah will make out for that person? And this is for every person to try it out. When you will do it, you will see how Allah Ta'ala's help and assistance will come to a person. Some people, there was one lady, and it's a very long story about one Russian lady, and how she went, she had to go back to Russia to get a paper, she had accepted Islam, and they said she must take a photograph of herself. So, Islamically, it's permissible now, just your face to take out of necessity. Or Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah used to say actually, that after taking the photograph also we must make tawbah and istighfar. He said, because it is a sin. You must always regard it as a sin. But out of necessity, out of force, we are forced to do it. So at least that guna, that feeling of that guna would remain in a person's heart. That what I am doing is wrong. Otherwise, eventually it comes out. People say, no, it's nothing wrong now. And then slowly, slowly, people come on the newspapers. In different places, they are actually making selfies of themselves. But anyhow, this lady, she said, she went to the officer, she said, I'm not prepared to open myself in front of you. I need a lady. The person said, no, never ever. I'm not giving you any lady. And I want to see your hair also. So she said, I'm not prepared to do so. So husband is telling her, no man, Islam is not so difficult. She said, no, this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not prepared to break it. Anyhow, they go back to the hotel room. He says, now my wife, she was a new Muslim also, she accepted the Islam. She said, are you going to sleep after Isha Salah? You got a problem here. We have to turn our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, then I went, I sat on the musalla, I was feeling chai, read a little bit namaz, made a little bit dua, 10, 15 minutes. But my wife continued. She continued. The whole night she continued. I wake up at 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. She's still in ibadat, making dua, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next morning, after Fajr, she said, let's go back now. I said, we have to go and they have to take our photos. She said, no, don't worry. She went there, the person called her name. He said, come here, we've got all your papers, we're going to get it ready for you, come and take it away. He said, I was shocked. And I thought of this ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever has a fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he got the desire within himself. Allah will test him maybe to a certain extent, but Allah will make out the way for him. And Allah will give him rozi and sustenance from where he never ever thought possible. The story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains what taqwa is. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had this quality within himself. Imagine you are a young person. You are the prime of your desires. One is you are a young person. The desire is very, very great in you. Number two, you are living in a foreign country. If you're living in your own country, and your own people around you, you're frightened of doing any sins because people will see you. But here you're living in a foreign country. Then also, you're not living as a free person, you are a slave. And a slave has got no real value in society. He's like really, really down. So if he does any wrong action, nobody will even give it a second glance. Number four, you are in the house of the person who is enticing you, calling you towards evil. So many things. And one is you are not calling yourself to do the evil, but she is calling you. Number five, she is of extreme beauty. She's got extreme amount of wealth, so much of honor and respect in society, and such a woman is calling you. And وَرَاوَدُتُ الَّذِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا, the one in whose house he was living in, she is calling Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, she locked the doors also. How many ever doors there was, Hazrat Ami rahmatullahi says, it must have been a very, very big room, very beautiful room. So So there may be 7-8 doors all around the room. She chose what a big and palatial room it must have been. Very, very smart. She locks the doors. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكِمْ. She says, Yusuf alayhi salam, come and do evil with me. But he had that taqwa, that seal around himself. قَالَ مَعَذَ اللَّهِ. He said, Allah must save me. Allah must protect me. How can I do such an evil action like this? إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. He is my creator and sustainer. Allah is looking after me. How wonderful he is and how much of ihsan he has done upon me. How he has looked after me. I can never ever do this. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. She had this very, very strong intention for him. He also had the desire. We are human beings. Every single person has got desire. A person has got desire for woman. A person has got desire for status. A person has got desire for wealth. A person has got desires for all of these things. Allah has placed it in you. What taqwa is? What is the command of Allah Ta'ala at this point? So Yusuf alayhi salam was not prepared. He started running away. Anyhow, the whole story is very, very lengthy. We know that eventually Yusuf alayhi salam was proven innocent, but they locked him up in jail. And they said, if you don't do this evil action, I will lock you up in jail. You will get zillat, you will be disgraced and embarrassed. But Yusuf alayhi salam said, I'm prepared to take this embarrassment. I'm prepared to come out of the house of the palace, and I will go into the dungeon also. I'm prepared from a big palace to come to a small, small place. I'm prepared to go. I'm prepared to leave all the money and the food, whatever I was eating. And for Allah's pleasure, I will do this here. He said, oh Allah, I will never break your commands, but I prefer going to jail. This is more beloved to me than the evil qualities what they are calling me towards. Anyhow, Yusuf alayhi salam goes to jail. Allah tested him. The Anbiya alayhi salam are very, very high level. They got the very highest levels of taqwa. Allah wanted to give us an example to the day of Qiyamah. Our examinations are very, very small normally. But Allah Ta'ala wanted to show us, you got taqwa, I'll show you what I will give you in place of that. How Allah will favor you. Anyhow, Yusuf alayhi salam goes to jail for a few years. And then Yusuf alayhi salam eventually is brought out. They try to disgrace Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah gives him honor. Allah gives him the kingship. He becomes like the king of Egypt. The wealth of Egypt is opened up at Yusuf alayhi salam's feet. He took poverty. Allah gave him wealth because of it. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam took zillat, disgrace. Allah gave him honor. Yusuf alayhi salam took a small place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. Now wherever Yusuf alayhi salam wanted to go, he wanted to build huge palaces and buildings. Yusuf alayhi salam could do this here. And Allah says, وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. You got iman and taqwa, I'm giving you in this dunya. But what I'm going to give you in akhirat is far, far better. And Allah Ta'ala says, it's not only for Yusuf alayhi salam. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَسْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. You got the quality of taqwa. You got this fear of Allah, this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to make a bit of sabr. I will test you sometimes. Allah will never ever destroy your rewards. So this is what Allah Ta'ala wants to see. Allah will give you a small amount of test, but Allah will give you eventually. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, all your disgrace and your whatever you are giving up for Allah's pleasure, Allah will give you back in return. And far, far greater. The same lady who was calling Yusuf alayhi salam to evil, according to some narrations, she got married to Yusuf alayhi salam. And when she comes to Yusuf alayhi salam, and Yusuf alayhi salam asked her, what you were doing before, was that better or now is this in a halal manner, which Allah has given us, is that better? So I will never break my Allah's commands, because Allah Ta'ala wants to grant me the best of things in this world, in the qabr, on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says, a person who has got the quality of taqwa, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. Allah will increase the person's rewards. One is a person who he's doing good actions, but he is also doing a lot of wrongs, a lot of gunas and sins. Another person, he does not much extra nafal ibadat, but he has quality of taqwa, he stays away from sins. He doesn't break Allah's commands. This person, his rank in the sight of Allah is very, very high. He read 2 rakats of salah. The 2 rakats of salah of arif, one who has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another person reads 1,000 rakats of salah, but he has not recognized Allah. He hasn't got this quality of taqwa. The 2 namazes can never be the same. The 2 rakats is far, far greater than 1,000 rakats. So Allah says, you got the quality of taqwa, your rewards will be very, very high and very, very great compared to a person who has not got the quality of taqwa. For example, Buzurgani Deen have given a beautiful example. He say you take a brick of gold. It's a small brick. And the size is the same as a normal brick. Size is exactly the same as a normal brick. It looks exactly the same. But one is the value of gold and one is the value of a brick. You can put 1,000 bricks together, but they will not equal the value of that one brick of gold. So that person who has got the quality of taqwa is like the brick of gold. And other people like us, we are like the normal brick. We haven't got that quality. So no matter how there are thousands of bricks, thousands of rakats we're reading, they can never ever equal that one brick of gold. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Ya Abu Huraira, ittaqil maharim takuna abadan nas. Oh Abu Huraira, stay away from sin. You will be the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Allah is giving you in taqwa. Allah Ta'ala says, you got taqwa, yaja'al lahu min amrihi yusra. Allah will make all your work easy for you. You know, normally our works, we have difficulty upon difficulty, problems upon problems. Allah will give you easiness in your works. You got taqwa, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah will give you barakat, blessings from the heavens and the earth. Today many people are complaining, we don't have enough money. I have to take my wife out and let her work in the shops. One hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sign of Qiyamah is where people will only make salam to those who they know. Only I know a person, I make salam to him. I don't know a person, I don't make salam. And the other sign of Qiyamah is that the business places will increase to such an extent, a person will take his wife out of the house and he will put her in a shop. This is a sign of Qiyamah. Why? Because there's no barakah, there's no blessings in our life. Person, I need more, my wife has to work, I have to work. But you bring the quality of taqwa, Allah says, I will give you barakat and blessings. And what is barakah? What little but also Allah will make it sufficient for you. You'll have a comfortable life. There was one lady, every month the husband used to give her 50,000 rupees. So she came to one buzruk, she told the buzruk, you know what, I've got a problem, I can't come out with this amount. 50,000 rupees, it's too little bit for me, I need more money. So the buzruk said, okay, look here, don't worry about that. You start making zikr of Allah Ta'ala, you stay away from certain sins, and you bring taqwa into your life. So anyhow, she started bringing taqwa into her life. After about 3-4 months, she came to the buzruk, she says, you know, that now the 50,000 rupees is more than enough for me. But 20,000, I'm coming out with all my expenses. And the other 30,000, I'm giving in the part of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the same amount of money. But when taqwa came into a person's life, now Allah puts barakat and blessings in that wealth. So many people are complaining, we don't have barakat in our time, we don't have blessings in our time, we don't have blessings in our wealth, we've got no love in our families. There's no barakah, Allah has removed the barakah because of our sins. You bring taqwa into your lives, you'll see Allah will send. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ Allah will open up barakatim مِنَ السَّمَاءِ blessings from the heavens also, from the earth also. Allah Ta'ala will give all kinds of goodness when there's barakah and blessings. One example, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mullah Zakariya rahmatullah is given of barakah. There was one youngster once, he wanted to make khidmat of his parents. There were three brothers. So he told the two brothers, you know what, you don't worry about making khidmat, I want to make the full khidmat of our parents. Whatever money our parents have got, I will give you all of that money. You take all the money, I don't need the money, I want to make khidmat for Allah's pleasure only. So he started making khidmat of the parents. They were very happy. They went on the side, continued their lives. He continued making khidmat of his parents, and eventually his parents passed away. Now he was a very poor person, but see what barakah and blessings are. He has a dream, and in the dream he sees a person telling him, that go to a certain place, because you made khidmat of your parents, there is 100 gold coins there. Go and take the 100 gold coins. So he asked, is there barakah and blessings in that gold coins? They said, no, there is no barakah in that. So he woke up next morning, he told his wife, she said, go and get that money. He said, there's no barakah and blessings in that, I don't want that money. 100 gold coins. The next night he has a dream. In the dream he sees someone telling him, go to a certain place and dig there, you will find 10 gold coins. He asked, is there any barakah and blessings? No barakah and blessings. He said, I don't want it. Again he told his wife, she said, no, go and get it. He said, I can't get it, there's no barakah and blessings. The third night he has a dream and the person says that there's one gold coin somewhere. Go and take that gold coin. He said, is there any barakah and blessings in it? He said, there is barakah and blessings. So he goes and he takes that one gold coin. Now he decides, what must I do with this gold coin? So on the way home, he's walking, he sees one person selling fish. He says, my wife, she likes fish. We are poor people, we never ever eat fish. Let me buy this fish. So he bought some fish and he takes it home. When the wife cuts it open, she finds one pearl inside there. That fish had eaten a pearl. He goes to the best jewelers, they cannot pay the price for it. They sell it to the king of the time. And he gets so much of gold, Allah Ta'ala gives him his place of the day. This is barakah and blessings. And Allah will open up for a person. Even sometimes a person doesn't have much, but he sees so much of blessings in his life. So Allah has given all of these promises for the quality of taqwa. Then at the end of life, when a person is leaving this world, the promises come of Allah Ta'ala, as you mentioned in the beginning of the bayan. On the day of Qiyamah, all your friends, whoever you had contacts in this world, Allah khillahu yawma idhin ba'aduhum li ba'din adun, they'll become your enemies, they'll turn away from you, they'll run away. Illa al-muttaqeen. But the friends you had of piety, of goodness, they will remain your friends, they will help you on the day of Qiyamah. Then a person has to cross the bridge of Sirat, which is a very, very frightening place. Allah Ta'ala says, every single person has to cross it. وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا Every single one of you has to cross the bridge of Sirat. كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًا Allah has made it compulsory upon himself. You have to cross it. ثُمَّن نَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا Then we will save those people who have the quality of taqwa. Those who have the quality of taqwa, they will go plus, flying with flying colors. وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا And those who are zalim and oppressors, we will leave them in there, they will fall down into the fire of Jahannam. So those people who have taqwa, again, they will go to the dead places. And then Allah says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا Those people who have quality of taqwa, they got the highest places, foes, the place of success, Jannat, they will remain there forever and forever. حَدَائِكَ وَأَعْنَابَ What wonderful gardens Allah has prepared for them. حَدَائِك means that garden which has got walled, it's walled around, because something which is walled is something of great value. Allah says, what wonderful gardens. In every garden you can walk around, you can move around with your human folk very, very easily and comfortably. What and what fruits Allah has got there. وَعَنَابَ And especially Allah has given you the grapes inside Jannat. Wonderful grapes. The Arabs love grapes. You like your mangoes, you like your watermelons, you like whatever other fruits. Allah has given all of that in Jannat for a person. And as our Hazrat mentioned very beautifully, when a person is eating the fruits of Jannat, You told me that you are eating it, and now suddenly, normally when you come to the end of the fruit, you eat the apple and you bite something and it's a bit rotten there. Or you eat and you bite and you see there's one worm coming out, and now you're wondering how many worms have already gone into my stomach. You're frightened. There, a hur of Jannah will come out from there. What enjoyment there will be. And every taste you will have, it will be even increasing more and more the taste of the fruits of Jannah. وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا. And what about the woman of Jannah? Wonderful, beautiful woman. We cannot go into the details of the woman of Jannah now, but they will be of one age. They'll never ever get old. A person will say, now my wife is getting old now, she's 78 years old. One woman, old woman, one man, they told him that you'll get the same wife in Jannah. He said, Inna lillahi wa inna. I lived with a woman the whole life, and such an old lady now must live with her in Jannah also. What difficulty there is. No, you will get a pure woman of Jannah. Not like that one person, he was making tawaf of Kaaba Sharif, and while making tawaf of Kaaba Sharif, he fell down, he was making dua, Ya Allah, grant me Jannah, grant me Jannah, grant me highest levels of Jannah, grant me the khurs of Jannah. And while he was going, it was very, very hot, he fell down unconscious. Anyhow, they carried him, the Ajid hospital is there in Makkah Mukarramah. They took him to the hospital. And now while he woke up, and now he got a shock of his life. He was a Bedouin, very simple person in his life. He never saw such a smart place like this here where he is now. And you see the beautiful, he's on a white bed, and he sees all white walls around him, and it's all machines. And he's thinking, Ya Allah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And this is Jannat, al-Jannatu haqqun, Jannat is a reality. He got very, very excited. And now suddenly he sees 3-4 Filipino nurses coming to him, and they are very, very fair in complexion. He says, al-hurul-een, my dua has been accepted. He got very, very excited. Now he's got all his machines on him. So he threw up the covers and he's running, he wants to run for the hurt. So they came running to him and they put him down. That, you take it easy, you are sick in hospital. He said, only one at a time, one at a time. I don't want all of you one time. So these are the people of, this is Jannah. What and what bounties Allah has kept for a person in Jannah. In this dunya, we can never ever get those bounties. Here you will get the real khurs of Jannah, the real enjoyment of Jannah. وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. And Allah has given that wines, full of wine it will be. Not the wine of this world which will make a person mad, but the wine of Jannah where a person will drink it and his intoxication of the love of Allah will increase. Much, much more enjoyment. وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا. You will never ever hear any love, futile speech, lies, anybody backbiting, speaking evil things. Only things of enjoyment. What and what enjoyments? Allah Ta'ala says, جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. This is a reward from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, a recompense. It's actually a gift from the side of Allah Ta'ala. Your actions can never ever equal what Allah is giving to you. And it's such a gift, حِسَابًا, that a person eventually will say, حَزْبِي حَزْبِي, oh Allah, it's enough, it's too much, I cannot take so much of bounties of yours. What and what Allah will give a person? Abu Buzurgani Deen say, that this world is not a place of fulfilling one's desires. This is a place of necessities. This world, if you try to fulfill your desires, you can never fulfill your desires. Or the only place of fulfilling desires is in Jannah. In this world, fulfill your necessities only. Allah has given you a wife, fulfill your desires with her in a halal way. Allah has given you food, eat halal food. Allah has given you wealth, use it halal wealth. Use your halal things. Don't go towards haram. Because the more you desire some things, the more your desires will increase. It will never ever come to an end. In Jannah, a person will be fulfilling every desire of his. Eventually he will say, Hasbi, Hasbi, oh Allah, this is sufficient for me, it's more than enough for me. So Allah Ta'ala has promised, all of this is on the quality of taqwa. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullah. Bring the shield around yourself of taqwa and prepare to give you the bounties of dunya and akhirat. Don't disobey Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry, it's not difficult at all. Taqwa is very, very easy. If you make a mistake and you break your shield, at the minute a person says, I want to become a muttaqi, I want to become a wali of Allah, and I make tawbah, Allah, my life, whatever I have done wrong, Ya Allah, make me maaf. As soon as you do this here, your whole life sins are forgiven. And now you're starting a new leaf. Allah forgives everything. At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kama la dhamba la. You made tawbah, it's like you have got no sin at all. And now you want to change your life. Obviously, if you had qaza namazes, qaza rozas, you'll have to fulfill all of that there. You owe people money, you'll have to give that money to them. Not like one person who went for umrah. People ask him that, you owe people so much money. He said, no, I go for umrah. I cut off my hair, all my gunas also fall off. I don't have to pay people money. Not like that there. We have to fulfill our debts, our responsibilities. But Allah will forgive our sins for whatever wrongs we have done. Now you are wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And now if you make a mistake, Allah Ta'ala says, tawbatan nasuha. You just make tawbah. And such a tawbah nasuha is like a... It's a person who is stitching and sewing. So whenever you got a crack in something, you stitch it up. So you got a crack in the shield of yours, you just speak tawbah and nasuha. You make a sincere tawbah, immediately you become a wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala again. And if 100 times in the day you break your tawbah, Allah says 100 times will forgive you. 1,000 times you will get tired of asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala will never get tired. Allah will continue giving you. So this is a person, the desire a person must have within himself. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullah. I must get the quality of taqwa. And then Allah Ta'ala says, how will a person get it? Kunu ma'as-sadiqin. There are many, many ways of getting this quality of taqwa, thinking of akhirat, watching a person's speech. Different places of the Quran Sharif Allah mentions. But here Allah mentions a very, very simple way. Kunu ma'a as-sadiqeen. Stay in the right company. The company of sadiqeen, those who are truthful, not liars. Those people who are truthful in their claim of taqwa. Then how will a person know he is truthful? We ourselves cannot judge. We have to look at our buzrooks. What the pious people of the time, who they regard as pious, and they say that this is Allah wala, this is the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You stay in his company, and they give a certificate for that person. Then inshallah, we in our husnas and our good thoughts, we must have of that person, that this is Allah wala, friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever our hearts are inclined towards, stay in the company of that person. But he must be a truthful person. Don't go out to one fake sheikh, fake peers. There are many, many people, unfortunately, who will take away the izzat of people, the iman of people. And once there was a mullah in a certain town, and one fake peer came to the town. He was a maulana sahab, many years he was working there. So he came, he told the people, this is a fake, don't go by him. So the people said, no, maulana is jealous. There was three groups in the town. One said, maulana is jealous, he don't like this new peer sahab. So we can't trust what maulana is saying. Other groups say, maulana is serving us for 20 years, he won't speak lies. And the third group said, you know what, we are in doubt, we're not sure. Whether they said, let's have a debate, open debate, and we will see whether the Peer Sahib is right or this Maulana Sahib is right. The Peer Sahib said, your Maulana knows nothing at all. He's a jahil, he's an ignorant person. I know a lot. So they went for the debate. So the Peer Sahib first question, he said, like, I'm going to ask a question. What's the meaning of La Adri? What's the meaning of La Adri in Arabic? So the meaning, La Adri means I don't know. I do not know. So the Maulana Sahib said, I don't know. So people have got a shock now. Maulana doesn't know. This is what the Peer Sahib told us. This Maulana is a jahil, he doesn't know. So they say, okay, second question. What's the meaning of La A'lamu? La alam also means I don't know in Arabic. So Maulana Sahib said, La alam, I don't know. People got even more now, they're making noise. This Maulana Sahib doesn't know. This Peer Sahib, this fake Peer Sahib is right. Maulana doesn't know anything. See, third thing, Menai Jantahu. What's the meaning of that? Say, I do not know. Now the people are convinced this Maulana Sahib is wrong. So they told Maulana, you have to leave the town. This Peer Sahib must stay here. We're very, very angry. You don't know anything. You're a jahil. So Maulana had no answer now. He didn't know what to tell the people. So he goes to the Peer Sahib. He said, Hazrat, I will make salam to you, Mustafa. I'm leaving the town now. But let me just take one strand of hair for barakat and blessings. So he pull out one strand. He said, inshallah, this will be my ticket to Jannah. So when the people of the community heard this, they got excited. They said, our ticket to Jannah is with Peer Sahib. So they all ran for the Peer Sahib and they started pulling out his beard. Peer Sahib, he turned around and he ran away from the town, never to be seen again. So these are fake peers who come and they will take away a person's iman. But to be very, very careful what literature we are reading, what books we are reading. Today, in the name of Islam, if you go on the internet, on a website, many websites. The other day I was looking for something on the internet and I went and I just read that article. Immediately I realized it's a Shia website. But the way the article was written, very, very beautiful on taqwa. A whole long, you will never see anything about the Shia. We are Shias, whatever. But now there are certain signs which we are alim or somebody will understand that this person, these are Shias. But now if you're going on the website, you are reading it and you're thinking it's a very, very good article. You read 10, 15 articles, then only a person eventually will come to realize that he'll start getting doubt in his mind. He won't understand things properly. There's one person, he became a Shia, and then he wrote a kitab, Summah Tadaytu, then I got Hidayat, I got guidance. And the kitab is translated in English also. Many people read that kitab, unfortunately. And he quotes from many of our kitabs. Now you're reading the kitab in Bukhari Sharif, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this year. Now you're not going to check up Bukhari Sharif, but he's lying. It's nothing like that in Bukhari Sharif. You got there in Muslim Sharif, this is written. In Tirmidhi Sharif, this is written. Your kitabs are saying this, yeah. That's why I became a Shia. The Quran Sharif says this. Now, you are an ignorant person, we do not know. We say, the Quran says this, yeah. The Hadith says this, yeah. So it must be right what this person is saying. So very, very easily they can lead us astray. Whenever we are reading any books, any literature, we're going to any website, first ask the ulama-i kiram, this website, is it a correct website? Can I go? Are these a reliable ulama? Then before a person reads any literature, any kitabs we are reading also, find out exactly where the kitab has come from. And any of the pious people who go for anybody's bayans, don't just go to anybody's bayans. Every Tom, Dick and Harry who comes, find out exactly who we are going to. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry with Umar radiallahu anhu. He was reading the Torah. The Torah is the kitab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are changes in there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face became very, very angry. And he said that my way is sufficient for you. Why are you going to the Torah? Why are you going to other kitabs? Even though it's permissible at certain times for certain ulama to go study these things, but not for every single person. So therefore a person has to be very, very careful about the literature he reads also. And one thing also an important point, my brother mentioned to me that Mufti Ibrahim Salih Sahib, Tawun Barakatuh, mentioned to him that today unfortunately many people are reading newspapers. And the newspapers are very, very harmful. Besides those people, the ulama, ikram, who give bayans, the muftis who are giving fatwas, etc., they are able to understand and take all the right information from the newspapers. لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. They are able to understand. But for every other person, Mufti Saab said, it's very, very harmful for them to just to read newspapers also, just to read the news. And he said most people in the world are suffering from depression because they're reading news of other places, and now they're reading this, what's happening? People are getting doubt in the Iman also after this year. That the Muslims are losing so much everywhere, they are going through difficulties, Islam can never rise in the world, they are losing the Iman because of this. So we should be very, very particular. So Allah Ta'ala says, كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Stay in the company of the Sadiqeen. Three great benefits you will get. Just by sitting in their company, firstly, a person's faults, he will start recognizing his faults. He will realize, I've got weaknesses within myself. So this realization will come into a person. Number two, the qualities of the pious person. Even if the pious person doesn't speak anything, one, he doesn't say one word also, because the Quran doesn't say, كُونُوا مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ عَنِ التَّقْوَى. Stay with those who are speaking about taqwa. Allah Ta'ala says, كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Stay in their company. By staying in their company, whatever qualities are in their heart, it will be transferred to that person's heart also. Similarly, when a person stays with their company, even though he doesn't want it, automatically the nature of man is such, wherever he is in the company of, that comes into a person. So when we are staying in the company of pious people, inshallah, that qualities will come, rub off unto us, what are within those pious people. And the third benefit is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, special mercy is coming down on the pious people. So those who are around the pious people, staying in their company, inshallah, they will also be attaining the mercy and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fourthly, he will get the du'as of the pious people. And we all of us need the du'as. We have to make du'a firstly for our own islah. And we are staying in the company of pious people, they will make du'a for us, people around them. Then inshallah, our work will also get done. Allah ta'ala's mercy will come down. Inshallah, we will be included in the pious du'as. And a person will get success. One person, he phoned on Alim and he said, Hazrat, make du'a for me. I've got a problem. I'm in love with one lady and I can't get out of this love. So then Buzru said, okay, I'll make dua for you, and you also must make this dua. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura wa fi basari nura wa fi sam'i nura. Wallah, put in my heart nur, put in my eyes nur, in my ears nur, light, all of these parts. You see, Hazrat, that's the problem. I'm in love with a lady called Nur. And he said, I must make dua, come in my heart, come in my ears, come in my... So we should be careful what duas we are making also. See, so we need to make dua. Every one of us have this fikr and concern. How can we have the quality of taqwa within ourselves? Stay always in the company of righteous people, pious people. Every one of us here, whoever our hearts are inclined towards, any wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pious person, link up with that person. Try to stay in the company of that person. At least his majalis, weekly majalis, daily majalis, whatever programs he has, reading the kitabs of those people, and trying to make our islah, reformation, writing to those people, the weaknesses we have got within ourselves. And a person will be shocked how easily a transformation will come into his life just by staying in the company of these people. And to get the quality of taqwa, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that his Shaykh, when Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah used to say that normally to get taqwa is a very difficult, it's something which is difficult. But he said, just stay in the company of the pious people. It doesn't become easy to get the quality of taqwa. It becomes lazeez, it becomes enjoyable. The person will enjoy himself getting the quality of taqwa. May Allah grant myself, firstly, and all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.